Now let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Everything that we say concerning the person and work of Christ is that which is taught in the Word of God. It does involve His immaculate conception. It does involve His birth, His life, His death, His burial. He went into the grave. His resurrection on the third day. Glory, hallelujah, Christ raised from the dead. Why? Because He had accomplished what He came to do. He saved His people from their sins. He didn't come to try to save anybody if they would let Him. He came to save His people. He put away the sins. God cannot charge His people with sin because Christ died for those sins. They were charged to Him. And this is something to praise God for. Christ's righteousness is given to us, imputed to us. And these are all things taught in the glory of His person, God manifest in the flesh. And that's the amazing thing about His birth. Who is He? He's Jesus. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the amazing thing about all of His life and death and burial and resurrection. And that's what we've learned from the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a verse here in Ephesians 4, verse 20, from where I get the title of this message. I call it the School of Jesus Christ. We're going to school. We've been going to school. And the Apostle Paul talks to the Ephesians. He continues to exhort them, encourage them as believers, sinners saved by grace, already redeemed from all their sins, already forgiven, already righteous by virtue of God's grace in Christ, to walk according to their calling. And their calling was the calling of pure, sovereign grace in Christ. Think about that. Our whole existence as sinners saved by grace, as justified. What does that mean? That means I'm forgiven of all my sins. On what ground? The blood of Christ. That means I'm declared righteous in God's sight. On what ground? The imputed righteousness of Christ. Justified and sanctified, set apart in divine electing grace, set apart in justifying grace, set apart in redeeming grace, set apart in regenerating and converting grace. All our whole lives as sinners saved by grace is owing to God's mercy and grace founded upon the merits of Christ's obedience and death. We don't owe, listen, we can't take credit for any of it, can we? We can't look to ourselves and say, well, now that part I did. All conditioned on Christ who fulfilled those conditions. And once again, we see that every exhortation. Now, an exhortation is an encouragement to obedience. You know, people talk about grace giving people a license to sin. That is so foolish. What that tells you is they don't know the reality of what grace really is. Did you know that? They don't know grace. They claim to. But the moment they say that the way we preach grace gives people a license to sin and disobey, they don't know grace. Don't know it at all. But every exhortation, every encouragement, every commandment, if you will, unto obedience and good works and a godly walk is given to believers already saved now, not to be saved. And it's all motivated by the certainty of final glory based upon the righteousness of Christ freely imputed and received by faith. And that grace does not lead or motivate people to a life of open sin and unconcern and immorality. No. People may do that, but it's not grace that leads them there. That's the old flesh. That's old selfishness. The grace of God in Christ does not lead or motivate anybody that way. And it does not lead or motivate to any obedience in a legal way or a mercenary way. Now, you know what legalism is? That's like You straighten up and fly right and obey, or I'm going to get you. I'm going to whip you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take away a reward. That's legalism. All right? Now, we have to deal with people on earth like that in our relationships, even you moms and dads. Sometimes you have to threaten your children with almost death. You know, who was the guy in the community? He said, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. Well, he's not. He couldn't. But sometimes, you know, you have to be give out some punishment to get the right behavior. But now that's not the way that God deals with his children. Because God deals with his children by giving us a new heart. But legalism is obedience based upon the law, with fear of punishment, fear of hell, fear of loss of reward. Now a mercenary is one who does what he does or does what she does in order to gain reward. So it's like dangling the carrot out there. You know, if you do this, it's like when you tell your children, if you clean your room, I'll give you $10. You just created a mercenary if they do it. But you see, that's not the way God's word works. Now that's what he says here in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. That's not the way that we who are saved by grace learned Christ. That's the way we naturally think. Right there. We all think, well, we do to either avoid punishment or we do in order to gain reward. That's natural religion. That's works religion. That's legalistic, mercenary religion. It's not grace. Not grace at all. Because the Lord, by the Spirit, through his word, motivates his people to obey him and to walk worthy of our calling, motivated by grace. Think about what all God has given us in salvation. But think about what God has given us even in this life. And how many times have I told you, take the next breath? That's a gift from God. And so how do we respond to that? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. God has given us an inheritance that we cannot even imagine. And we didn't earn it, and we don't deserve it. Never earn it. It's motivated by love. Love to God. Love to his word. Love to one another. It's motivated by gratitude. So look at what he says here. Look back at verse 17 of Ephesians 4. He says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth from this time forward walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now the Gentiles here, he's talking to Gentile believers. But all this applies to every believer, even Jewish believers. The truths here apply to everyone who believes the gospel. But he's addressing the Gentile believers because of the way they were in that day. And they're this way today, but it's in a different realm. It comes forth in a different way. But the way the Gentiles walk, and this, look how he describes it. He says, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now you're going to see the mind is involved here. You've heard that old saying, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Well, God doesn't waste our minds. In fact, when you see the word heart, and he says that in verse 18, look at verse 18, having the understanding darkened. There's got to be an understanding that comes through the mind. And he says, the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, being excluded from the life of God. That's spiritual life. That's salvation. Through the ignorance that is in them. There's something they don't know. There's something they haven't been taught. And he says, because of the blindness of their hearts. And the word might be hardness of their heart. The heart in the scripture is not just the emotions. People say today, follow your heart. Well, the problem with that is that if you're not regenerate, the heart is deceptive, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? In salvation, God gives us a new heart. A new heart. And people think of the heart as just being emotion. They'll say, They'll say things like, don't follow up on this path with your mind, follow your heart. And but I got news for you. The Bible's not a Hallmark card. It's not just a love letter in that sense. The heart in Scripture is the mind. It's the affections, what you hate and what you love, because of what you know. I know this to be true. It's like I've always used it, and especially around this time of year. If you have a package brought to your house and it's got a beautiful wrapping on it and a beautiful ribbon, the first thing you're going to do is open that package, aren't you? I want to know what's in that. I want to know who sent it to. Well, what if it's got a rattlesnake in it? Now, your mind, you say, well, I know that guy who sent that to me. He don't like me. You know something. Or somebody informs you, there's a snake in that box. You better not open it. Then your affection toward that box is going to change. You understand what I'm saying? Because now you know something you didn't know before. And it's the same way in salvation. The reason that people by nature do not want the salvation that God provides through His Son is because they want it their own way. They don't know any better. Their understanding is darkened. That's why in salvation, in 1 John 5:20, it says, the Son of God hath come and given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. He teaches us through His Word by the power of the Spirit, and sometimes and most of the time through a preacher like me or a witness like you in some way. The heart includes the mind, the affections. The heart includes the will. What you desire and do not desire. People talk about, well, God sent His Son here trying to save everybody, and if you will just accept Him, then you'll be saved. Well, that's a lie. You don't know any better if that's what you believe. Your understanding's darkened. You're alienated. That's separated from the life that God gives. Spiritual life. Because the Bible teaches us that if we were left to our own desires, we would not accept Him or believe in Him or come to Him. Isn't that right? The will is part of the depraved heart, and that heart's got to be changed. We've got to be made willing in the day of His power. And how does He do that? He sends His Spirit through the Word preached to convince us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Think about this. Any person who comes to God seeking salvation based upon their works or their decision, they do that because they don't know better. Because that's a lie. God never promised to save you based upon your works or your decision. What does God do? Christ comes by His Spirit and by His Word, and He teaches us in His school of grace that by nature we're such a sinful, depraved, spiritually dead people that we are totally dependent upon His will. And His will alone to save us, to keep us, to bring us to glory. It's not of him that runneth, Paul wrote in Romans 9. That means works. It's not of him that willeth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. And God says He'll have mercy upon whom He will. He says, I'll be gracious to whom I will. You can't get past that in the Scripture, in the school of Jesus Christ. You can't get past that. Somebody says, well, that's not fair. Paul writes, by the power of the Spirit, in the book of Romans chapter 9, you better watch what you say about God. You better trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. God does that which is right. And He never makes a mistake. His judgments are always according to truth. And what He does so because it glorifies Him and exalts His Son. Well, the heart is the will. The heart is the understanding. The Bible says in Romans 3, verses 10 and 12, that by nature there's none that understandeth. In other words, if we have that understanding, it's going to have to be given to us in the school of Jesus Christ, in the school of His grace, being taught by the Word of God. Listen, look at Romans chapter 10. And he says that it's because of the ignorance. Well, what are we ignorant of? Well, listen to these words from the Word of God, from the school of Jesus Christ, the school of God's grace, Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 1. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now, what's Paul saying here? He's talking about the majority of people who were his brethren in the flesh, because Paul was a Jew. He was an Israelite. And he says, "My heart's desire and prayer for them is that they might be saved." Do you all have family members who are lost? Isn't it your heart's desire and prayer for them that they might be saved? Well, why would you say that they're lost, Paul? Well, look at verse 2. It's like this. Let me say this. Why would you say they're lost, Paul? Are they not religious? Don't they go to church? Don't they read their Bibles? Well, look at verse 2. He says, "For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God." No, they're religious. Think about their religious Jews. Back up there in Romans 9, he said, they sought after righteousness. They worked hard to attain the righteousness that by which God would accept them. But they didn't find it. Why, Paul? Because they sought it not by faith, and to seek righteousness by faith is to seek it in Christ. That's the school of Jesus Christ. So he says, verse 2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Do you believe the gospel? If you do, you've been to this school. But they, not according, they're lacking some knowledge because they haven't been to this school, the school of grace. They don't have a degree from the University of God's Sovereign Grace. Well, what are they ignorant of? I mean, I know guys who, men and women today who are so smart, don't you? So moral in the eyes of men. So kind. So humble in the eyes of men. Don't you? I know guys who are a lot smarter than me in a lot of areas. But in this one area, they're ignorant. What is it? Look at verse 3. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness." The school of Jesus Christ is a school of righteousness. How do you know they're ignorant of God's righteousness, God's way of righteousness, God's justice? Well, here's how you know. "And going about to establish their own righteousness." They're trying to work their way into righteousness. You can't do that. Even in the exhortations of Ephesians 4, where he tells us to be good people, to be obedient people, we still cannot work our way to righteousness. That's what I've learned in the school of Jesus Christ. How about you? He says they've not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Well, what is this righteousness of God? You know, the Bible said over in Romans 1:16-17 that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. And they're ignorant of it. They've not submitted themselves to it. Well, here it is. Look at verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, that's why he came into the world. That's why he was born. That's why he lived and died and was buried and arose again, to establish the only perfection of the law in his righteousness by which God justifies ungodly people like us. As our sins were imputed, charged, accounted to him, his righteousness was imputed, charged, accounted to his people. That's the school of his grace. Look back at Ephesians 4. Now, if you're ignorant of that, he calls it blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart. hardness of their heart. Hardness of heart would come through with a person hearing this gospel from the Word of God saying, I don't believe that for a second. Walking away out that door unaffected. That's blindness of heart. That's hardness of heart. That shows you haven't been to this school. That God brings all of His children through. Well, look at verse 19. He said, who being past feeling. Now that word past feeling means they're insensitive. They're calloused. No awareness of their sin. What am I? I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. And I'm sensitive to that. There may be times that I might lose sight of it, but not for very long. Oh, it don't take long, especially as you get older, for God to remind us what we are. And the fact that if God were to judge us based upon our best right now, we'd be damned forever. No shame, that's what that means. Think about that. Think about those false professors in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Coming before the Lord of glory and say, now, Lord, haven't we preached in your name? Haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we done many wonderful works? Think of the lack of shame there. They ought to be ashamed of what they're doing. Pleading their works, even though they're saying they did it in the name of the Lord. Pleading their works as their righteousness before God. They hadn't been to the school of Jesus Christ. You know what I need to be saved? I need the perfection of the law that can only be found in Christ. And if I put anything else in there, I ought to be ashamed. And that's what he means past feeling. Now, you can apply that to people today who just live like, as we say, devils, who have no conscience. But if you relegate it to just the immoral, perverted people of the day, you've missed the boat of this school. You've missed the lesson. My friend, this applies to the best, the worst, and everybody in between. The most religious. It's indicative of a depraved conscience. Look back at verse 19. Who've given themselves over to lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is sensuality. Lust. Now that can apply to sexual sins, physical, but it applies to any lust that is unlawful. It's unlawful for me to desire salvation based upon my works. That's lasciviousness. And yes, it applies to the immoral, the sexual immorality that pervades our day. He said to work uncleanness with all greediness. What is that greediness? It's not just for money, that's included. But it's for power. It's for glory. I want to believe that I made the difference between saved and lost. That it was my decision. That Christ died for multitudes in vain who didn't make the decision that I made. That's greediness. Yes, it would include those who are greedy after filthy lucre. Those who are greedy after physical power, political power. Yes, it includes all that. But don't let it stop too low. Go to the school of Jesus Christ. But he says in verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. Are we sinners saved by grace? Are you a believer? A follower of Christ? A disciple of Christ? You know what that word disciple means? It means a learner. If you are, you've been to the school, and you've been schooled in His school by the Word of God as it is in Him. The Bible says, if so be, look at verse 21. If so be that you've heard Him, well, how have I heard Him? In His Word, by the power of the Spirit. He's given you ears to hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So he says, if so be that you have heard him, and if so be you've been taught by him as the truth is in him. Now, these next verses I'm going to go in. As you know, we're not having service next week. And then Brother Jim's going to be preaching on January 1st. We'll have one service January 1st. It'll be at 11 o'clock. We won't have the 10 o'clock. And then Debbie and I will be back on the 8th. And I'm going to pick up here on this thing about the new man and the old man when I get back. But he says, put on the new man and put off the old man. He says in verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I'll deal with that when I come back. But basically, here's what that is. The old man is what I was in Adam before I was converted, before I went to this school and learned better. That's the old man. That's what I was. That old man was crucified with Christ. Means that I can't be condemned by what I was, because Christ took that to the cross. And even now he takes my sin. He took my sins to the cross. The new man is what I am now in Christ. And we'll deal with that when I come back. But let me show you one more verse and I'll quit. John 6. Turn to John 6. Here's a summation of going to the school of Jesus Christ. And I'll talk more about this too. Look at John 6:44. Now he says in John 6:44, no man can come to me, that is, come to Christ, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Well, he says in verse 44, now this is how God draws his people. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Taught by the Spirit in the Word through a preacher or a witness. Every man therefore that hath heard. I used to teach middle school. And I swear to you that in every class, I had some kids who just didn't hear what I said. And you know why they didn't hear it? They didn't want to hear it. But there were a few that did hear. And they did. That's the way it is in the gospel. Man by nature doesn't want to hear this. But God's people want to hear it because God's given them ears to hear. So every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, how God can be both a righteous judge and a loving Father. If you know that, you know what you'll do? He says, cometh unto me. You'll come to Christ. You'll flee to Christ. You'll flee to Christ and nobody will be able to stop you. You may get a second opinion from a false preacher, but he won't even be able to stop you. You'll come to Christ because you've been to the school of grace, the school of Jesus Christ. Okay.